Let's go to the informal. Mr. Stoll's going, damn it. Or he has some of those too.
I'm good.
Okay, so let's go.
Do we have a number or is he?
We are on section. Yeah, we gotta get Dr. Simon, or Dr. Escalante on the phone. And ask him.
Yeah. No. Say this for like more.
No, no.
2077.
Hello.
Hi, Dr. Escalante. It's Tracy at the Veterinary Board.
Yes.
They're ready to do the informal interview. I'm going to go ahead and conference you into the board meeting, okay?
Okay, thank you.
Did not allow.
You're ready to go.
All right, so we are on section 3, number 1. This is the time and place scheduled for the informal interview of Simon Escalante, DVM, in case number 2242. This matter will be heard by the board pursuant to the authority given it in ARS 322234. There we have Dr. Escalante on the phone. Would you please state your name for the record?
Simon Escalante.
Thank you. Dr. Escalante, have you received a letter informing you of the matters to be discussed today? And the possible actions the board may take at this informal interview. As a reminder, those options include dismissal, issuing you a non-disciplinary letter of concern, censuring you, and placing your license on probation, with terms that may include continuing education and practice restrictions. The board may also suspend your license for up to 30 days, assess a civil penalty, or refer this matter to a formal hearing. The purpose of this informal interview is to inquire into the facts and circumstances of this case. The board has read all the materials submitted. If you have any additional materials you would like to present to the board, please do so now. I guess you're not here, so you can't present those to us. So we will move on here. This proceeding is being digitally recorded. As a result, it is important that everyone speak loudly and clearly, and that only one person speaks at a time. We will begin by asking the lead board member assigned this matter to give a brief summary of the case, and then you'll be given an opportunity to respond. Following your response, the board may wish to ask you some questions. If you have any questions for the board or anyone giving information during this interview, you may ask them through me. And Dr. Byrne, will you please give us a brief summary of the case?
Yes. So the summary of the case for case number 2242, the complaint was Grant Sibley, and they brought a pharmacy intern at Tucson Medical Center who was doing some medication reconciliation on some patient data, and it came across the fact that the respondent's wife, Dr. Escalante, had been prescribed or had been provided with medications from Dr. Escalante's veterinary practice, and it was brought to the veterinary board directly and brought to us for review.
Thank you. Dr. Escalante, at this time I'd like to swear you in. Do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God? Dr. Escalante, we'd now like to give you an opportunity to respond to the summary and present whatever information you believe is relevant.
Well, it's just been a very difficult time for me and my wife with this pandemic, and just things piled up. I mean, it is what it is. I think I wrote it, and that's basically what it is. You know, I wasn't aware that I was doing anything wrong. I wasn't aware of that. I've been in practice for 50 years, and I wasn't aware that that was a violation, so, I mean, it's up to the board what he wants to do to me, that's fine.
Okay. I'd now like to ask board members if they have any questions for Dr. Escalante.
Yeah, I have a couple of questions. This is Dr. Byrne. So I was just calling to ask a question about, you talked in your letter about how you had a doctor or a nurse practitioner that had been the initial, maybe the initial prescribers to your wife. Could you just elaborate a little bit more on the history of?
Well, yeah, she was a friend, a personal friend. She was our nurse practitioner for years.
So when was the initial date that she initially prescribed the medications?
I wouldn't be able to tell you that because it's been, it's hard to say. I wouldn't be able to recollect that at all.
So are the medications that you prescribed to your wife, medication that you routinely stock in your practice, the fluoxetine,
oh, yeah,
the ibuprofen, and the methocarbamol?
Oh, yeah, uh-huh. My wife has been fighting that fibromyalgia for years.
I don't have any further questions.
Any other board members have questions for Dr. Escalante?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Dr. Escalante, you said you weren't aware that veterinarians, if I want to make sure I understand you correctly, you weren't aware that veterinarians aren't allowed to prescribe for human beings?
No. It was for my wife, you know. I just didn't think I was. It passed in my head, you know. It's just something that happened, you know. I wasn't aware of that. You know, we've been in practice for 50 years, and it's nothing that I really considered. I'm aware of it now.
Isn't the question prescribing versus dispensing?
Thank you. That was my next point.
Okay.
Did you prescribe these medications or did you supply these medications based on the prescription?
I just took them out of my own clinic. You know, she had been prescribed that before for years and stuff, the ibuprofen and the other stuff. She's just had it for years.
So, sorry, I didn't mean to jump in on you real quick, but when you say they were prescribed for years, were they still current prescriptions? Could she go to CVS and still get them filled, or
no,
were they
no,
not current
no.
anymore?
No, they weren't current. She saw the neurologist, I don't know how many years ago.
So she wouldn't have been able to get the medications from that neurologist still without, I mean, was she still seeing that neurologist?
No.
Or these?
No.
Okay,
no.
So the prescriptions were expired.
Yeah.
Okay.
And at this time, you know, with the way things are right now, to go see a doctor is almost impossible.
Do you know
the situation?
Do you know roughly the last time, I don't need an exact date, but the last time that active prescription was given by that doctor? Was it within a year? Was it within 5 years, 10 years?
Probably 10 years.
Okay. Thank you.
So then for prescribing and dispensing would be accurate.
Any other board members have questions? Dr. Escalante, do you have any additional remarks or questions that you would like to ask?
No. If I have to go through those other questions, just tell me what I have to do. You know, I consider myself very ethical because I treat a lot of people here and a lot of people without any money. And I do consider the animals and the people on Social Security, you know, they just don't have any money or anything like that. So I eat a lot of my expenses because I feel sorry for the dog and the people. But I've been in this town for 50 years, almost. I'm a nurse practitioner. I don't practice horses anymore because I can't get away from them, but that's what I've been doing for the rest of my life.
Are there any more questions from the board members? I'm not hearing any. So this concludes a portion of the informal interview in which the board hears testimony. The board will now deliberate and decide what to do in this matter. And Dr. Byrne, you are the lead.
Okay. Well, so in conclusion, and reviewing the materials that were submitted in the phone consultation that we just had, I have an issue. I think it's not clearly just a distribution issue of medications, prescription medications, but more of a prescribing and or distribution. I don't know that there's any real person that's involved in this process that's had the spouse's medical well-being at the heart of the matter. I think the potential for side effects with the fluoxetine, the gabapentin, the methocarbamol, I'm not competent to say what that would be in a human patient, and I have a huge problem with it. Any other discussion?
Yeah. Dr. Lloyd, take a seat. Or Mr. Lloyd, sorry. You love me.
It's Dr.
But this is his doctor, yeah. This is hard, and I know you guys are sick of me saying that because I say it in a lot of cases, but most of the time when we're seeing these kinds of prescribing, supplying medications, it's control drugs.
Yes.
And that's a whole nother level of stuff. Now, this is still, in my opinion, not right. I mean, all veterinarians know we can work on every species in the world except for one, and that one is a pretty big exception. So, I mean, there's just leading with that, there's definitely issues here with doing this. But like I said, most of the time this is opioid drugs or some other kind of sedatives or something that we're prescribing. None of these are controlled. Gabapentin is a little bit controlled in certain states, but I mean, these are typical medications that are just easily prescribed. Again, does that change a whole lot? Well, it doesn't involve the DEA at that point, but I mean, this is still one of those things where he was trying to get a better price of stuff, and that's hard too, because I do have, I mean, a personal friend who's got many, many health issues and in chronic pain and was doing ketamine injections, infusions for a couple months, and he was getting it 2 to 3 times a week, and it was $600-ish for each infusion. And I went through on the back end once I just found out about it and calculated what that cost would be at my hospital to get those drugs, and it was less than about $6 for everything. So it's very difficult. Now, I didn't supply it, I'm not saying that. But I mean, it's very difficult when you see those massive price differences and seeing that people are suffering, and especially a family member is suffering because of that kind of thing. Now, again, that's way beyond our purview. That's a whole nother ball game of medical issues and the human side, which we really don't want to touch. But when I look at what was done here, like I said, if this was supplying, I'd still think it's wrong. But if these were active prescriptions from a human doctor and you were getting them from your distributor as opposed to a pharmacy, that's a little different. It's still wrong, but it's a little different level of wrong. These were old prescriptions, however. These were no longer active. We couldn't just go to a CVS and get them. So that, again, does change it more to a prescribing thing also. So like I said, this is very difficult because I don't see a true intent to go in and defraud anybody. I don't think that was his original intent, but he still did a wrong thing. It's really a bad situation. It's a very bad, unfortunate situation where, like I said, yeah, money's a problem with everybody right now. People are starving to death. I mean, it's I shouldn't say to death yet, but probably soon. But I mean, it's really bad what's happening. Everybody's trying to save a buck, but this is a little more beyond that too with the prescribing portion of it. So I kind of had to say my piece there because it's always bothered me, the price differences. I see all the time the medications that I get at CVS and the medications I can get, and I'm like, wow, that price difference is drastic. And is there a need for that? So, but you can't be just out there kind of a vigilante doing what you want to do either.
It's still a violation.
So I understand, I don't agree, but I understand where he's coming from, and the fact that there's not controlled drugs is a little bit different than most of these cases we've seen, but this is still a wrong.
Correct.
so.
So I would say if you took the, look at it from the flip side, if you were looking at veterinary medicine, if a prescription ran out, the veterinarian is going to have to see the animal and examine it before they write a new prescription, right? I mean, they'll refill it a certain number of times, but at some, after some period of time passes, they have to see it again before and you know, make sure it's still there. So that part of it I have the most problem with, that there isn't a new examination, new prescription. Like you said, if he found a more economical way to supply it, but he had the prescription, it'd be a totally different story, but that's not the story.
Yeah.
Well, and especially since it was such a lag time. Like if it had just expired, if you're in the middle of COVID, you can't get an appointment, that's one thing, but 10 years removed from when the prescription was actually valid, that's a hard, hard sell.
Yeah, so my, sorry, I know this is not mine, but I was just gonna say more of my concerns, so I don't know if anybody else has more comments. Oh, please, you, sorry.
I don't have any more comments, so I'll make a motion if you want to.
Yeah, well, see, and before I do, I just wanted to kind of say a couple things, because, I mean, I definitely think, I mean, what do we fit this to for a violation? That's kind of where I was kind of struggling here now.
He was going to tell you.
Well, I know, but I was thinking, I think the ethical thing is definitely there. My one question around there, though, is the prescribing portion, and maybe this is a Mr. Harris question, but do we have a statute or a rule about prescribing to humans that's under the veterinary statutes, or would this be under the human statutes that we don't have ability to enforce?
Yeah, we don't have a statute or rule that's...
See, that's, yeah.
But just because you don't doesn't make it...
It doesn't make it right.
Right.
Yeah, and that's where I think it's at least an ethical violation, but I'm wondering, like I said, what else there is beyond there. So that was kind of my piece now.
Well, if you take a look at 223215, that might be applicable. That's on page
20. Okay. You're probably going.
And I had looked at that one, and I also looked at that same section, 32.22.32.26, which goes to the about releasing, prescribing, or dispensing medications, prescription, or controlled substances in the absence of a valid veterinary client-patient relationship, because it's impossible to have a veterinary client-patient relationship when it's a human.
True.
Yeah.
So in my opinion, that's right.
And then, I mean, do you send it off to the human board, the human medical board?
They don't regulate veterinarians.
That's another discussion.
They don't regulate.
No, but practicing without a license, that's what it would be. So they're not regulating veterinarian, but they're regulating a layperson practicing without a license.
Why don't we deal with our realm?
Yeah, I mean, that's
that could be all part of the same motion.
No, because not disciplinary. It would be a direction for staff to make a report somewhere.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it?
Yeah, I guess you can probably direct, I suppose, a motion for that.
All right. If you're ready, I'm gonna make a motion. And we can vote on it and go from there.
Great.
So I'm gonna make a motion that we find a violation for unprofessional conduct, section 32-2232, number 12, for a violation of the ethics of the profession. Number 15, for the distribution of fluoxetine, gabapentin, methocarbamol, all prescription drugs for other than legitimate purposes. And number 26, for releasing, prescribing, and dispensing fluoxetine, gabapentin, and methocarbamol, all prescription drugs in the absence of a valid veterinary client-patient relationship.
Second.
Motion number 4. Second, to find
the violation members of the board with respect to your violation of the ethics. Can we take a look at the rule to see which one in particular it's relating to? And that's on page 16 of the yellow book.
Okay.
16 of which?
Your memo.
Oh, I said memo. I was like, this one, there's not 16 pages in there.
The rule to go with this.
That one, yeah. And that was our thing, is which one does it apply to, because none of them are great other than possibly one, in my opinion.
I mean, it deals with what veterinarians do, which
exactly.
is the treatment of yeah. animals.
And with that said, we do have the standalone violations that you
yes.
also identified, so, you know.
Okay. So I'm going to withdraw that motion, and I'm going to resubmit another, a second motion to find violation of 32-2232, number 15, for the distribution of fluoxetine, gabapentin, methocarbamol, all prescription medications for other than legitimate purposes, and section 32-2232, number 26, for releasing, prescribing, and dispensing fluoxetine, gabapentin, and methocarbamol, all prescription medications in the absence of a valid veterinary client-patient relationship.
Second.
Thank you.
Motion on the floor, second. The new motion.
Yeah.
Any further discussion? Seeing none, let's do a roll call.
Dr. Byrne?
Aye.
Ms. Krieger?
Aye.
Ms. Frost?
Aye.
Mr. Lohe?
Aye.
Dr. Nosley?
Aye.
Ms. Solomon?
Aye.
Dr. Thompson?
Aye.
And Dr. Reyes and I, the motion carries.
So the board has voted to find two violations. At next month's meeting, the board will consider adopting proposed findings of facts and conclusions of law, and after doing so, will then discuss and adopt the disciplinary action. If you have any questions, please call the board's executive director, Victoria Whitmore, at the board's office. This concludes the informal interview. Thank you, Dr. Escalada, for joining us on the phone today.